You know, last week we looked at dating, and this week we're going to look at it again. And I think the question is, why is dating so frustrating here at Vandy? you know, a lot of you are wondering, how do I date, right? Last week we talked about dating for a little bit. How do I date? What does this kind of look like, you know? How's this supposed to be? And I think in reaction to that question, a lot of Christians have come up with specific answers. And our Christian community. And some of them have been very moralistic, you know. There are certain books or articles you can read that will say 10 steps to great dating relationships. Or, you know, and they tend to be kind of moralistic. Like, if you do these, you'll have a great dating relationship. You're like, yes, that's what I want. That's what I'm going for. And that's what you want, isn't it? I mean, you want rules that help you do that. I think another way to look at it is not just the rules of dating, but let's just get rid of dating. There's this book, all of you know which book I'm about to say, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And when it came out, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, back in, oh gosh, I don't know, years ago. It's been out for years and it's still being talked about. That's what's so interesting about it. It came out actually when I was in college, which was eons ago. I am old. And when it was so interesting when that book came out. If you know anything about the book, it's really about dating is bad. It does these things, it's bad, therefore we should get rid of dating, i.e. So a lot of people I knew actually read that book and started breaking up or like getting out of relationships, like immediately. It was so weird. I talked to a guy who was like, yeah, she just said she don't want to, you know, go out anymore. And she read this book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. I was like, what? You know, so people were like cutting off relationship because of this book. But how are we supposed to look at dating? As Christians, okay? How does this look? And one of the reasons I'm having you have this little sheet and being able to write questions is in comments and whatnot, and to put it in that basket is for us to discuss it. Because what we're doing is looking at, okay, as Christians, we are to, in the gospel, in the scriptures, what they do is they take culture and they don't say, hey, let's hide from culture, okay? The being a Christian doesn't mean you hide from it. It doesn't mean you, or that you make rules to assess it, or that you throw out culture, or that you assimilate to the culture, but that the culture is transformed. So with that, if we're looking at biblical principles of dating, if we're looking at biblical principles of all of relationships, really, and this is an extension of that, then how are we to transform? How can dating actually be transformed through these biblical principles? And you know what? A lot of what I'm saying is through the lens, and we need to discuss these things. That's why I'm talking about them with you, is because this is a discussion about these biblical principles. And that's why I want you to write your questions and comments, is not just so we can have like a stump the chump, like I mentioned last time, but so we can actually talk about, like, work through what this looks like. And whether you disagree with me, that's great. We can talk about those things. Let's figure out how the Bible gives us a grid for all of relationship, not just one aspect, but all of it, especially in our dating. So with that, and again, I give thanks to my friends that are older campus ministers like Les Newsom and others that have really contributed to my thinking on this, but as well as just being here for the last several years. But let's look at this. Last week we looked at the dating process. Let's look at how we date and how the problems of how we date, and then look at how we date and applying the gospel to how we date. First of all, I think the rules, if we look at how we date, that one of the biggest things that just comes in is our rules and assumptions, right? We mentioned last week that immediately when you enter into that, you cross that threshold, so to speak, of we're dating. It's official. We're committed, right? That what comes with that is this protocol, right? This set of rules, this set of assumptions that this person needs to meet in order to be in this relationship. And we kind of talked about what that's like. It's kind of a list. And typically, you don't know what this list is until you've broken it. And the first thing about these rules is that they really constrain relationship. One of the problems is these rules constrain it. Because many times when you do these things, there are these do's or don'ts. But you don't really know that until they're broken in the relationship, right? And then you're offended. Then you're hurt. I do remember sitting in college with a friend of mine, and some of you heard this story, but we were sitting there and we were talking about relationships, and he pulled out of his back pocket this piece of paper and kind of wiggled it out and unfolded it, and it was this list of do's and don'ts for his relationship with his girlfriend. And I thought, well, that's fascinating. I mean, these rules, and kind of we talked about them and stuff. One of them was no tickling, by the way, which I thought was an interesting rule. But I think we tend to have these do's and don'ts to constrain our relationship. Now, that's kind of a funny far out. But he had some other ones that were a little more serious. And I was like, are you really serious about that? But about tickling?
You can tick.
Okay. But these rules really do constrain relationship. We tend to think, and that's what we want. I know every one of you, as much as you would not say this, would love for me or whoever else to stand up in front of you and give you some sort of rules for dating that you can carry into the relationship. But you're already carrying those into relationship. And they're constraining your relationships. They're constraining your dating. You're bringing assumptions into your dating relationships that usually are draw out, really... well, let me put it this way. They really imply that the person you're dating should be in a certain place, assuming that they should act in a certain way. But what are you doing with those? What are those rules? And I want to draw that out a little bit. And most of the time when you do enact those rules, the rules are this. Here, catch this. The rules that you put on other people in dating are in order for you to possess them. Isn't that true? Wouldn't that be true that the reason we have assumptions, the reason we have rules on people that we date is in order to possess them in ways and have them in our life in ways that we can control and have for ourselves? I think we're very afraid of being broken up with. So we also use rules to tighten those things. But I think rules also are used to hide our insecurities. They help us hide our insecurities. That when we base these on judgments and fears, right? We're using oftentimes rules to hide our insecurities in those relationships, to keep people at where we want them. But what they really do, what these rules, these unspoken rules do, is draw out your insecurities. See, dating oftentimes, not even if you're not in one, this is what we said last week, even if you're not in a dating relationship presently, these rules, these assumptions you have about dating relationships draw out your insecurities. They draw out your deepest fears of a relationship with someone with the opposite sex. Those things that you desire, your shortcomings, your insecurities. And usually you see these rules and assumptions when in the dating relationship, when you're clinging to someone, right, or pushing them away because of these rules. These rules that you have. Let's look at them in maybe a different light. I think these rules come out really in expectations. This is probably going to be the biggest kind of picture for you in these expectations of what we have on dating and what the culture of dating has. I think the first expectation is expecting flawlessness. Expecting flawlessness. You know, when Megan and I first started dating, one of the things that she noticed about me was that I was not very good at dressing. I wore tight ankle jeans. Some of you heard her tell on me the other day. I used to wear tight ankle jeans, and I would wear a belt that was one of those braided belts. But because I didn't want to get a normal belt, and because I was cheap at the time, I used this belt so much that it stretched out, and so that the excess over here was like so long that I had to like take it and like tuck it back into the belt, like tie a knot to hold the belt, right? And all the while, I mean, and ladies, you know exactly what I mean by this. You're looking at certain guys and you're like, gosh, he would be so great, but look how he dresses. But it's one of those things where it was like, okay, it's kind of a funny way that she tells on herself about it. But we expect flawlessness, right? You expect perfection in those that you date. And one of the reasons you don't date, and one of the reasons you have so many problems in your dating, is because you expect flawlessness. Not just of them, but of you. You're always weighing yourself and them because of this. That there are so many pressures that you put on them and on yourself that keep you from having any freedom in your dating. Because you expect flawlessness. You expect them to be perfect. One of the biggest things, that, another thing I'll tell myself, just so you can have me as a reference, that when Megan and I started dating, I met her family for the first time, and I pulled a really fun maneuver by, we were all at lunch together, and I turned to her younger sister and held a fork up to my eye, and I said, "You're in jail." She had a whole lot of reason to let me go at that point. It's a total dork. Yeah, I know. I just heard somebody say, "Oh my gosh." But here's the good news about you, okay? And me. You're a mess. You're expecting flawlessness from people that you date and from yourself. And I'll tell you what, it's not just in that. You expect it in all parts of your life. And one of the reasons your dating is so messed up is because you expect that flawlessness when you enter into it. You expect there to be no blemishes, no hiccups. Newsflash. When you get married one day, the longer you're married, the more mess you see. And the more beautiful it is, actually. Because that's what deepens a relationship. Expecting flawlessness can keep you from having actually freedom in any sort of dating relationship. And, especially in one day, your marriage. Not only that, I think you expect fireworks. We love drama, right? We love drama in our dating. We want to have a dating relationship that makes us sing, right? Like that we actually see in the movies, right? We really do want that. We want to have that relationship. Everything is just golden and beautiful. We want the fireworks, right? We want the drama. We actually, I would say that so many of you won't enter into dating relationships because there isn't drama. There may not be fireworks or those things. But it's keeping you from knowing one another. Because you're expecting what doesn't need to be there. And I don't mean like just attraction. I mean like drama. But you want some sort of magical connection. You're like, and I saw her across the room and it was awesome, y'all. You know, it didn't work that way all the time. You can't expect just huge drama. And sometimes we love that drama in your dating relationships. How do you celebrate the drama? Like, oh, y'all, we are celebrating our 7th month of being together. You love that. I know you celebrate it. You know some of you are sitting there going, "I hate you because you just did that. We just celebrated our 7th month, but I don't like you." Okay, look. Oftentimes you do celebrate those things because maybe you're putting expectations on the dating that don't need to be there. You're celebrating anniversaries for a relationship that doesn't have actual commitments or covenants to it. Have you ever thought of that before? I don't think I thought of that when I was dating. I think we need to rethink some of these things. That there are things that we assume about these relationships. I think another way is expecting to know the future, right? I think one of the things another thing that you're carrying into the dating, or that actually keeps you from dating, is trying to foresee the future with this person. It's almost like playing MASH all the time, right? It's like you're walking around playing MASH constantly, okay? And whether you have the paper or not, you're like, okay, mansion. Oh, that guy, yeah, mansion. Ferrari, I don't know. You know, that guy's Shaq for sure. There's no way. You know, I mean, you really are looking. You're spiraling around in your head. The MASH thing is always being played. Look, you can't expect to know the future. Guys, you got to enter into some of these relationships not expecting to be omniscient about whether you're going to marry that person or not. And of course you're going to ask that question. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, okay? But some of you do it so much, if not all of you do it so much, that it actually keeps you from dating each other. And dating is not meaning that you're going to get married right away. It's getting to know each other. See how we put these expectations that are so big. Here's another one, another fun one, I think, is expecting exclusivity. Now, a lot of you, when I said that, you're thinking, well, yeah, I mean, isn't dating exclusive? Well, yes, it can be. Now, it should be in some sense, but the problem is how we usually go about that. Okay. A lot of times when we expect exclusivity in our dating relationships, in the institution, as we know it, of dating, what happens is, what? A lot of other relationships begin to atrophy. We begin to pour ourselves so much into that one person exclusively that we almost tune out completely other relationships around us. And it's not a problem to actually enjoy and invest in someone you're dating in. But what happens is what you've done is taken it and made that dating relationship so institutionalized that everything else, your schedules, your time, your energy, your attitudes, your values, your body, all of those things become exclusively that person's and vice versa. And guys, it's not meant to be that exclusive. Any time that a relationship like that demands those things and assumes those things, you need to be very aware of that relationship in a dating relationship. There are no rights to those things in a dating relationship. You have no rights to those. You really don't with one another. And so what we do, though, is we make that exclusive. We put the exclusivity on there. We also expect to solve our problems. A lot of you are looking for dating relationships because you're lonely. And I understand that. We just talked about a couple weeks ago about loneliness and intimacy and pursuing those things. But let me tell you that looking for a dating relationship to solve issues of loneliness in you, to solve issues of intimacy, can really prove to be very unhealthy. It can really prove, if you're putting those kind of things, remember what the whole point of this is not trying to find identity in the person you date, but to bring identity in the person you date. You will never have joy. Hear me say this. You will never, ever, ever have joy in a dating relationship if you press and push and demand and assume and bring rules in that draw in exclusivity in a way that you're not meant to have with that person in dating. If you try and find your identity in that person in dating, you will never find it. You will be just as lost and you will drain them dry emotionally. We're about to talk that in a minute. You'll drain them dry. The only way you can actually have joy in dating, the only way that can actually transform on this campus, is if you pursue real identity, true identity, what we see in 1 John 4. And let me read it for us. He says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." You hear that? "As he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." You see, my biggest issue with our dating culture today is probably one word: ownership. If I can conclude it in one word, it's ownership. It's the way that we think we own one another. And there are three ways that I think that this really draws out. The first is spiritually, right? And before I even say this, when I say own one another, it's the way that we have treated, and get me when I say this, really hear this. It's the way that I believe that we've looked at dating and held dating to a position to where they are dating and breaking up has become like little marriages and little divorces. It really has taken on a lot of that identity, a lot of that institution, a lot of that commitment that actually is never warranted for. But let's look at this briefly about first spiritually. And I think this is really important. That spiritually leading, this is not, you need to know, guys, and this always comes up, is he a spiritual leader, right? Especially in a Christian circle. And some of you that are maybe visiting or hearing this and wondering, what does this mean? It really means, first of all, that the spiritual side of you, who you are before the Lord, is actually the deepest part of you. That all of what you are, your identity before Him, makes sense of everything else around you. And when we talk about spiritually leading someone, guys, there's no warrant for us leading girls spiritually in the way that we mean it in a dating relationship. There's no warrant for it. In fact, there's no warrant for us other than in a marital covenant relationship between a husband and a wife. Is there no spiritual leading in terms of you leading her in knowing her soul? And many of you, give me when I say this, many of you are maybe doing devotions together, going to church together, praying together. Those things are not necessarily bad, but let me say this, oftentimes those things can confuse your relationship, especially when those are brought in and your sexual relationship, your physical relationship starts to struggle and starts to happen. It muddies the waters. Because on one side of things, you're trying to say, oh, we're spiritually together, we're walking together, we're doing this, we're doing that. And yet, on the other hand, you're really treating each other as you shouldn't treat one another. Both spiritually and physically, which we'll talk about in just a sec. But you see, there's no warrant for you guys to actually lead a girl spiritually in dating. The way you lead them is by pointing them to Christ, by living for Christ yourself, by being an example. Even in my marriage, listen to this, okay, where I am called to lead Megan, my wife, one of the best, if not the best way I lead her, is by my example for her. The way I display that for her, it's not necessarily me going, hey, we're going to have a devotion together, we're going to do this, tell me about your soul, let me make you go to church, okay. It's not about that. It's about me leading her in that way. And part of what you're doing in dating is learning the maturity of that. If this is the deepest part of you, it doesn't mean... This is a huge thing I'm about to say, okay? Dating, when two Christians are dating, as you should, dating as Christians is not about you trying to make the other person look like you spiritually. Oftentimes in the dating realm, we think we need to be right on track with the other person spiritually. Okay? And what I mean by that is that you think that that person should be more like you and not more like Christ. That's the issue. Oftentimes in dating, you think that the person you're dating should look like you, or you should look like them. But the point of dating is not that. The point of dating is for your identity. You can grow, you can learn from that person. But the point is not for you to look like them, it's to look like Christ. Not like the person you're dating. And we confuse that so often. So often. I think one of the greatest quotes, I use it at weddings constantly, is what C.S. Lewis says. He says, if we aim for earth, we get nothing. But if we aim for heaven, we get earth and everything else thrown in. And if we apply that quote to dating, if you aim for dating, if you aim for your dating relationship, you will get nothing. You you will be confused about your identity. You'll be confused about relationship. And there will be more baggage and hurt that's brought in. But if you aim for heaven, you will get dating. It will make sense. And you'll have everything else thrown in. I think the other way is emotionally. How do you deal with your feelings in dating? Look, some of you think that dating is the place where you're able to kind of like dump your truck all over that person emotionally, right? And this, oh, finally, I'm in a relationship with somebody who really gets me. And that's great. There are connections emotionally. But dating is not the realm, is not a warrant for you to tell them everything that you feel all the time. And it's not even healthy to do that. To dump your insecurities, to dump your truck, so to speak, all over them whenever you need to. And look, some guys, I've heard this, some guys have even told their girlfriends that they're struggling with pornography. Because that is not a healthy place to do that. You don't need to do that with your girlfriend. That's not what that relationship is about. If she was your wife, then yeah, you would need to talk to her about it. If you were engaged, yeah. But in the dating realm, where you are, where do you weigh that? If you're wrestling with those things, go to safe relationships outside of that. Don't jump your insecurities all over them. Go to people like me. Go to people like Megan or Brett or Natalie or friends that you feel safe with to talk about that. But those are the kind of things that we don't need to dump on each other. Nor is it emotional enmeshment, where your emotions get so close together that you only feel things that the person you're dating feels. You know what I mean? That you can't tell your feelings from their feelings. Y'all, we've begun to do this spiritually, emotionally, and finally physically. And I think, and I'm not going to even sit here and say, are you doing this? Because you're all struggling physically. If you're really being honest, all of you are struggling with your dating relationships. It's not an if, it's a when you will struggle in your dating relationships. If you're in a dating relationship long enough, or maybe even at the beginning. It used to be where there was an escalation like I talked about last week. But even now, sometimes in our dating, it's right away. But physically, and the question usually becomes, where's the line, right? Hey, where's the line? When do I know I'm really like sinning in this relationship, right? But what are we asking when we ask that question? We're asking, how close can I get to my guilt and shame without actually feeling it? How close can I get to the line without owning my physical relationship? And y'all, we're going to talk in a couple weeks, for several weeks, about sex. And one of the things that you need to deal with is the guilt that you're wrestling with in your sexual relationships. Y'all are wrestling with them. I know you are. It's not like, if you are, I know. And not just because, like, I know, but I just know. I mean, you're people. You struggle with these things. And because of the way that you see dating, I know that you struggle with them. And that's why you need to talk about it. That you need to think about, how are you treating this person? Are you treating them like a little marriage? That their body is your body? That you don't have ownership over them? Sexually, there is no ownership over them. And you need to know that the Bible is not anti-sex, okay? The Bible is, there are passages that I could read that would make you blush like crazy, okay? The Bible is anything but anti-sex. It actually, It displays sex as beautiful, as wonderful, as understood. But what we've done is, if we begin to treat each other in these ways and put sexual relationships, and I mean just anything from, think about that, and give me an, you'll hear me in a second say this, but sometimes we take naps together, okay? Or let's sleep together, but we're not actually doing anything. Y'all, that's like putting a match next to like a huge tanker of gasoline and hoping the two don't mix, you know? It's really playing with even that all the way to several, so many of the oral sex on campus and all sorts of other things that are going on. Y'all, there's, I mean, the sky's the limit, right? But the issue is not sex itself. Hear me say this. Sex is not the problem. the relationship is. That's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is not saying, throw out sex. We need to be prudes. It's saying, no, there's a problem in your relationship. And dating is not made to hold the weight or cash the check over the way that you treat one another physically. It can't. It can't. It's not made to hold that. And it doesn't mean that we assimilate with the culture and do that, but it also doesn't mean that we run away from the culture and don't think that we can enjoy one another affectionately. Right? And they're having a party back there. But inevitably, no matter what it is, spiritually, emotionally, physically, where are you finding identity? Where are you finding it? Y'all, how you date in wise ways, let me just say a few quick things, okay? Positively, of how you date. Stick with me. First, with a desire not to find identity, but to bring it, know that there's awkwardness and be confident with it. Right? One of the first things of how to date is to approach one another, knowing that there's going to be awkwardness. Get over the perfectionism. Nobody's going to be perfect. I had a tucked-in braided belt. And she said, yes. I had a fork up to my eye like an idiot and said, you're in jail. Like, when of y'all have ever done that? And I'm married. Almost 10 years. Can you believe it? No, you probably can't. But y'all, you got to get over the awkwardness. There's going to be awkwardness. Approach one another in that. Know that if you know your identity, you can go and have even awkward dates and they'll be okay. You know what? You're people. You're all awkward, actually. I'm not saying that because I'm looking at you. I'm just saying that because you're a person, you've got awkward tendencies. No one is so smooth. God did not love you. He did not send His Son, as it says, because you're so smooth. Okay? He didn't send Jesus because you didn't need Him. You weren't awkward. You needed His love. The way you approach one another is to go, yeah, I am an awkward person. I'm not perfect. And look for dating relationships like that. It's not TV. We don't have like one character flaw, right? This isn't Grey's Anatomy. We approach one another. But also, you have freedom from possession, right? Freedom in dating destroys demanding from other people. Freedom in dating destroys demanding. When I was dating Megan, I can't remember how long we were into our dating. Her ex-boyfriend actually wanted to go have a dinner and talk with her. And she asked me if that was okay. And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And of course, part of that was because I was just arrogant and anything else. But I also said yes because I knew that I had freedom to say, you know what, she's not mine. Like, I don't possess her. And she actually went and had dinner with her ex-boyfriend while we were dating. We were into our dating probably a couple months at least. And it was really interesting because I knew that I had to trust that she'll either be mine or she won't. And it was okay. I really was okay with it. I still am today. And I actually know him. He's a good friend. And I told him, hee hee. Here's the question. Where do you demand rights, time, energy, passions, attitude, values from people that you date? Are you aware of it? What you're putting on your dating? Also, somebody asked me a great question about, and this is freedom to be okay in hurting. Somebody asked me a great question Sunday night about how do you handle breakups? And I think that we handle those, the way we usually handle them is like little divorces. It's like, you eat at Rand, I'll eat at Commons. That's it. You know, you get this food, I get that. You get these friends, I get these friends, you know. And you stalk on Facebook and that's about as much as you get. You know what I'm saying? So, how do you handle those? Guys, you got to know that because you're people, there's going to be hurt in relationships. Okay? We want to minimize our hurt. Okay? We want to make it smaller. But you got to know that part of dealing with relationships with broken people is you have broken relationships. And one of the ways that when a relationship ends, that we tend to either demonize the other person, we either demonize ourselves, or we demonize dating altogether. And what the gospel does is say, no, you don't have to demonize anybody. You don't have to make anybody the evil one or make dating throw it out altogether. Let's redeem even your brokenness, even your hurt. It's by going to the Lord with your hurt, going to one another and carrying that to Him. You know, it's setting healthy limits. Megan put this so well Sunday night when we had our discussion. She said, setting healthy limits in dating is like having an 8-lane highway. Okay? She said this beautifully. You have an 8-lane highway, right? That's what I'm saying to you. Rules, the difference between limits and rules, rules is like, here's this one lane, drive this fast, go right here. Okay? Setting limits means you have 8 lanes. And sometimes, you know, you go over here on the bumps, and you're like, whoa, okay. And then over here, you see the cement concrete wall, and you're like, whoa, need to keep from that. And you have freedom within that. Now, that's how our dating should be. Setting limits means you know who you are, actually. Setting limits means you understand your identity, because you find identity in the gospel. And it's also about not all about you, but keeping you. That when you're in the dating relationship, it's not all about you, but it's also keeping you. That you don't just give yourself away altogether to whoever you're dating. That you keep you. But I think finally, and one of the most important things I want to say is about community encouragement. Is that you have friends that it's so taboo to talk about relationships and actually be truth tellers in one another's lives about who we're dating and how we date. Y'all, we need to be a good community. Not to badmouth who we date, but to encourage and challenge one another of how we're dating. Do you have friends that are truth tellers? All through the Gospels, all through it. Jesus, David, all these people, Jesus is bringing truth to people about their relationships. And they're brought into community that encourages those things. Y'all, this is how we do these relationships. It's all in coming with identity in Christ and not trying to find it. Let's pray. Father, I praise You for this evening. Thank You, even though this has been long, I pray that we would really take this in. That we would go forth and know that we can live and move in a new culture. That we can be transformed and transform culture in our dating. And I pray that we do so in Christ's name. Amen.